There's a tradition that when a priest becomes a bishop, he chooses a motto, a theme, as it were, for his ministry. It might be a scripture passage or a quote from a saint, and it's usually written in Latin and emblazoned across the bottom of his coat of arms. Bishop Amond, who ordained me, he chose the motto, God is faithful. It comes from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Bishop Vasquez's motto is, Sigue me, come follow me, from the Gospels when Jesus called the first apostles. Bishop Danny's is, walk humbly with God. Now, popes have mottos too, because popes are bishops. St. John Paul II's was, totus tuus, totally yours. And Benedict XVI's was, cooperatoris veritas, co-laborers in the truth. Now, I think that one of the most interesting of all of them has got to be Pope Francis's. Of course, Pope Francis, he's cut from a different cloth. There's no doubt about it. This is what we love about Pope Francis. It's like he's one of us. And his motto says it all. It reads in Latin, Miserando atque eligendo, which translates, lowly but chosen. This says a lot about Pope Francis. It says a lot about his thoughts, about his theology, about his ministry, about his preaching and his teaching. I'm a fan of lowly but chosen because it's so simple and because I know that it's really my motto and it's your motto. Lowly but chosen is all of us. It's every human person's motto who is serious about their Christian journey. Lowly but chosen. I bring this up today because of our gospel. One line in that gospel. It is not you who chose me. It is I who chose you. I mean, could there be a simpler description of discipleship? We think we've come here because we have chosen him. We think we've come here because we recognize our need for him. This is secondary. If we do that, then the whole thing goes off the rails. We're here for no other reason than that he has chosen us to be here. This is spirituality. If someone asked you, hey, tell me what Catholic spirituality is, this would be an answer. Catholic spirituality is coming to know that he has chosen me. This is what we think about with these first communicants today. They are living Catholic spirituality. God has chosen them to receive Holy Communion. This week, I came across a very interesting blog article titled, Why We So Desperately Need Community. The blogger was talking about coffee houses and the interesting reality that coffee houses are filled with people who seem to value being alone. That in coffee houses, they show up with their laptops and their headphones and their reading materials, totally seeking autonomy with their coffee. They post up at a table in the midst of 25 other people as if they're the only ones in the coffee house. And the blogger explains, there is something attractive about a life of aloneness where we can corroborate our capacity as self-directing people. We affirm our liberation and ability to live a life geared toward our own self-fancied end. We can come and go as we please, busying ourselves in whatever activities that suit us without having to answer to anyone but ourselves. However, he explains, there always remains the underlying need to be grafted onto something other than ourselves. Now, this cuts to the very core of who we are as people, as we struggle with this autonomy over and against community. And I think that's precisely why Jesus said, now listen, it's not you who chose me. I choose you. These coffee houses, it's one of the most interesting studies for sure. People who think they have no need for one another are somehow drawn to one another in this rather innocuous place. I mean, the more I go to coffee houses and just sit there, the more it makes sense. It's quite beautiful, actually, that somehow, unbeknownst to them, people sense the innate draw to come together in community. Father Doug talked about this in our Coffee with the Collars a couple of weeks ago, our episode on the urban parish. If you haven't checked out Coffee with the Collars, it's our video blog that we have on our media page of the webpage. Father Doug explained, the paradoxical thing about cities is that they're so big and they're so busy that they can easily become anonymous places. They can end up an experience of being around so many people and yet feeling so alone. So, Father Doug explained, we need places in the city where community happens. I think that's what's going on in coffee houses. Pacha, Monkey Nest, Thunderbird, Summer Moon, Genuine Joe's. Without knowing it, they're doing something quite holy. They're combating the anonymity of the city. And that's really Pope Francis's pontificate, if you think about it. He's reaching out to the anonymous, the people on the fringe, the people with no connection, migrants, divorced and remarried people, people who live in slums, homeless people, prisoners, people who have been abused. And interestingly enough, he reaches out to regular people. You ever notice? He doesn't immediately go and hang out with other bishops and priests. He goes out to regular people because he knows our need to be chosen by someone. He knows our need for connection with the church, which of course is what he represents as the Pope. This blogger, very interesting. He went on to tell of two old men who frequent the same coffee house that he does every day, and they sit in the same faded red chairs against one wall. They both usually have headphones on, and they just sit there, and they open their laptops and just cruise the internet. They sit quietly, for the most part, laughing in short, distracting bursts occasionally. Sometimes they talk to each other, explains the blogger, telling the other of a worthwhile movie or repeating a joke from a web page they just visited. The blogger says they appear to be friends, but it seems that they both live alone. And every day they come to sit in this coffee house with anonymous, quite indifferent strangers, and they drink coffee and surf the net on their laptops together. The blogger concludes, and I think this is the most powerful point. They participate in the paradox of sharing their aloneness. This is very interesting. This is the human experience. We come into the world alone, and we will leave this world alone. And all the while, we live this paradox of sharing our aloneness with one another, which is how community begins to be formed. This is church. This is Francis' motto, lowly but chosen. This is Jesus who says to you, no, 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 you don't choose me. I choose you to be in community with one another. This is what happens at baptism. And this is what happens to these little kids today when they are chosen to become a member of this Eucharistic community. The fact is, We are all called to something outside of ourselves. That's what Jesus is doing here. To be, to exist. Don't forget that Jesus is the Word that spoke all that is into being from the very beginning. So when he speaks, it has to do with our very being, not just a sociological project. When he says, "It is not you who choose me, I choose you," he's really saying that to be, to exist, is to be chosen. Our existence is quite rightly set into relationship, that everyone is called to something and someone outside of themselves, no matter their situation in life. Now, I think we know this instinctively. Why else would people be hanging out in coffee houses? It would be a lot easier and a lot cheaper to just make coffee at home. But they don't want that. Something in them drives them to be in community. Father Thomas Merton once wrote, this is beautiful what he wrote. Think about yourself. The human person exists solely to be the place God has chosen for his presence in the world. I mean, this is an incredible line. If someone were to say, hey, what does it mean to be a human person? This is the answer. To be a human person is to be that person that exists solely as the place God has chosen for his presence in the world. The love of our fellow man, Father Merton continues, is given to us as a way of realizing this. It is the love of the other that makes God present in us. Love, he says, is the epiphany of God, the arrival of God. I think this is why Jesus says, I have chosen you, and now you must love one another. His choosing us is for no other reason than to love the world through us.